This is Tech on the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm Ben Johnson. Today, a film called Hidden Figures opens in theaters around the country. It's about three African-American women fighting for workplace equality as NASA mathematicians in the 1960s during the space race. Here's a bit from the trailer.
Let me ask you, if you were a white male, would you wish to be an engineer?
I wouldn't have to. I'd already be one.
Hidden Figures is based on a book of the same name by Margot Lee Shutterly. It was adapted for the screen by director Theodore Melfi and screenwriter Allison Schroeder. Allison joins me now to talk about the film. Hey, thanks for talking to me.
Thank you for having me.
All right, so tell me about the women at the center of this movie.
Oh, they're pretty amazing. You have Katherine Johnson to start out with. And she was the woman that did the math, figured out how to get John Glenn from his orbit back down to Earth into the landing zone. Pretty incredible. She was inventing the math that had never been done.
Wow.
You have Mary Jackson, who became the first female aeronautical engineer, not only at NASA, but in the U.S. And then you have Dorothy Vaughan, who saw the wave of the future, which was the coming of mechanical computers rather than human computers. And she taught her girls to program.
This is one thing that I think a lot of people will learn or are learning from watching the film that, like, you know, before computers were computers, they were humans.
Right. Yep. They needed someone to run those calculations. And World War One, there was a shortage of men to do it. So they started recruiting women. And then after the war, the men said, we don't want to sit in rooms and do all that computing longhand. And so the women stayed and they kept recruiting them from the colleges.
NASA, you know, has been a presence in your life for a long time. You grew up in Florida near NASA, and both your grandfather and grandmother worked there as engineers, right? So how did that experience inform your thinking about this project?
It was everything to this project. I mean, when I was approached, I was actually given two books to read. And, the moment I read, well, it was actually a proposal for Hidden Figures. The moment I read it, I said, I have to do this because I'm a NASA baby. This is how I grew up. So my grandmother was a computer programmer, so Dorothy Vaughan really paved the way for her. And I would go up and visit them on the Cape. My grandmother worked in the vertical assembly building. I would play on the Mercury prototype. I was convinced I could launch myself into space. And even in elementary school, oh yes, if I hit the right buttons, I just knew it would happen. My dad explained I was not attached to a rocket, and I explained to him he didn't understand space flight, that it was magic. But I know better now. And even in elementary school, they used to release us for fire drills to go out on the playground and look up and watch the launches. One of the reasons that I connected with this film and John Glenn's mission is there is so much uncertainty and danger in spaceflight. And so one of my earliest memories was at Gemini Elementary, they let us out for recess early so that we could watch the Challenger launch. And I remember running around the playground chasing Susan, and my teacher snapped at me, "Pay attention, this is important." And I froze and I looked up at the sky, and it was the Challenger, and it exploded. And I didn't quite know what was going on until I looked at my teacher's face and I saw the tears streaming down, and I realized this was a horrible tragedy. And our parents picked us up from school, and I don't know if you remember, but they couldn't find the cabin right away. The tracker hadn't worked. And so there were search parties that were formed to go look for the astronauts. And I, of course, being so young, was convinced that they were still alive and had made it.
And the Challenger had teachers on board as well, right?
That's correct.
Which made it even more sort of, I guess, and sad for your teacher as she was watching this, I would imagine.
Right, because a lot of my teachers had applied to be the one to go up. So not only was it just horrible for all of us, but it could have been them. And so I just remember calling up all my friends, and we got on our bicycles in my neighborhood, and we rode around to all the vacant lots and all the orange groves searching for the missing cabin because we were convinced we'd find them. And that night, of course, they did find him, and they had not made it. And it is honestly one of my most vivid early memories, and it's always stuck to me, and it's always been a part of my life. And so to get to write this movie and sort of show the danger and show what it takes to get someone up there was incredibly rewarding and sort of came full circle for me.
Other than your sort of family history and reading a couple of the books before tackling the project, how else did you research the film?
Margot, the author, was in the middle of writing the book the same time I was writing the screenplay. So thank goodness she sent me all of her research. And it was everything from, you know, housing surveys to obituaries to thesis projects. And then I looked at a lot of archive footage. I read all the accounts of the Mercury 7 themselves so I could get the technology correct.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, looked into these women and the time period the best I could. And I love research. I'm a big dork about it.
Nice.
It was a thrill. Yeah. So it was sort of funny because the first draft was so steeped in math and science and history. And then Donna Gelati, the producer, looked at me and said, okay, now for this next pass, go have fun. And I was like, oh, yes. And that was such a great experience to, again, go in and get to add the humor and the life and the fun and the, you know, some more of the wittiness and the quips and the comebacks.
So you're talking a little bit about this, but the movie does have a lot of drama in it. What are the things that are true and what things were added? Can you give me some examples?
So one of the things that's true is they did have segregated bathrooms, and they had to walk very far to get to them if they were on another party campus that wasn't their own segregated part. So in real life, these white women, you know, laughed at Mary Jackson when she asked for the restroom, knowing that she would have to walk so far away. Mm. And so I transposed that to Catherine to sort of show just how much of an outsider she was in the space task group. John Glenn really asked for that girl to run the numbers of Catherine. Dorothy really did become the head of programming and bring all of her girls with her. She was the first black supervisor. And Mary really did petition the court and convince the judge to let her go to the high school. And that was actually one of the most fun scenes to write, because then I stole from my own life. So when Janelle says, you know, comes into the high school and the professor says, this curriculum's not designed for a woman, and she says it's just like teaching a man, that happened to me when I was studying economics abroad.
So really?
So it was sort of fun to take their experiences and try and also make it modern and to today, because we're still facing these issues as a woman that has worked in math and science. Because I interned at NASA for 4 years and then studied math at Stanford. So it was
great. It's interesting. You're talking about this stuff that we're still facing today. The movie does mm-hmm. really focus on the experience of African-Americans in the workplace in the 1960s. You are not African-American, but you are a woman. How did you approach that as a writer, mm-hmm. trying to write from that perspective?
The key was stick to the truth. At all times, stick to the truth and you'll be fine. And I had all these wonderful stories of these women. And, you know, it was just all there in the research. And so I knew what obstacles they had faced and how they'd overcome them as black women. And so I just tried to stay as true to them as I could. And I wrote them like the smart women that I know, right? So I went to Stanford and I was surrounded by the most diverse, amazing, intelligent, kick-ass women. And even though we were so different from our backgrounds, different religions, different races, there was a certain way we talked to each other and joked with each other and supported each other that I do think is universal. Mm. And so I tried to give that to these ladies, because I always wanted this to be a story about the three girls' friendships, the three ladies' friendships.
Mm. NASA is generally viewed by the public, I think, as a place of extreme optimism and idealism, you know, for all of humanity. What was it like for you to explore the limitations that existed at NASA?
Well, it's tricky because I do think NASA was ahead of its time, and yet it was still, you know, Jim Crow laws and segregation, and mm-hmm. they were following that. But what I remember about NASA growing up was that everybody was always on the same page for the common good. And so I realized that the struggle in this film was maybe not as large or, you know, grand as perhaps, you know, the March on Washington, but it was about taking people on a personal level and making them change their prejudices. Mm. And so that's what happened at NASA, is when these black computers were sent to work with these white engineers, the white engineers befriended them. And so suddenly their perspective on the world started to change. And these were not just strangers, but their friends. And so they started to fight for change. So that was pretty much the story that we tried to tell about NASA. NASA's not perfect at all in this film.
And probably still not, as so many places.
Still not, of course.
Yeah.
But it is a story about people trying to do the right thing. Sure. And I think that's important.
The subtitle for the movie is The Untold Story. After working on this project, what work do you think we all still have to do in telling the stories of minorities in the history of technology and innovation.
I think it's key. I think it's really sad that it's been lost because I think little girls...
It has been lost, right? I think people make all these like assumptions about who drives the tech industry. And I think there's a lot of history that is missing from people's, knowledge.
Absolutely. And I think it just goes to show who writes the history books. But for instance, when you look at the stars, some people know that they're classified by different colors, you know, yellow star, red star. The scientists that figured out the age of stars and how to classify them were deaf women at the turn of the century. And their book on astrophysicists is still considered one of the best resources around, and yet nobody knows that. And I think that's really sad, and I think we need to do more to show it because, like I said, little girls and little boys need to have role models to look up to. And no, I'm not the first one. I'm not having to do this for the first time ever. Others have blazed the trail before me, and I can follow in their footsteps and do the same thing. Plus, look, technology is changing. Google says its workforce is going to have a shortage in the next 10 years if women and minorities don't go into STEM. They simply won't have the laborers they need.
Allison Schroeder, she wrote the screenplay for the movie Hidden Figures, which is out in wide release today. Allison, thank you very much for talking to me.
Thanks for having me.